Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. I exalt you. Come and taking it all away. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah. I exalt you, Father. I praise you. These great days leading into revival. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immokalee is in revival, Father. Glory be to God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. I think in a minute, I'm going to have Miss Gay get up here and do a page or two. I just love it. It's my meat to hear that we're going into revival. Would you like a couple of praise reports? Okay, who said that? And I'll tell you secretly. Would you like a couple of praise reports? Hallelujah. One, Barbara Nelson called, and you know we prayed for her last week. The bone scan that she was going to have. Everything's good. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Well, I would have you stand, but I'm going to have you stand on the next one so we can get both of them at the same time. You know the lady that Gary Briscoe was having us pray for that he said we prayed for, and after many years, I think it's 5 to 7 years, she could not get pregnant as long as they've been married. And within a couple of 3 weeks after we prayed for her, she got the word that she was pregnant. So that was great. The only thing is she's having twins. I said, my God. I mean, I wanted to isolate it. I'm not scared of knowing other stuff because I like to know all the facts. I said, now, was there any fertility specialist working with her? He didn't know, but he knew that years had been passed, that they'd already had those procedures going on. So when you go just a few months ago, this is where they've gone to. Listen, this is, don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on Him. Just a few months ago, not long ago, I think sometime in the early part of the year, they were, they called Gary, and they were someplace, and I think he was maybe on the road, I'm not sure, and said, look, would you please pray for my wife? She has some kind of, I think it was a female cancer. And it was real serious, real serious. It looks like she has cancer. Besides for that, there was a up-and-coming possibility of a marital separation because they had tried for years to get pregnant and could not. And Satan had got in there and started that war of blaming and all that kind of stuff. They went from there to standing in a prayer line. And now she's carrying twins. And their marriage is healed. It's greater than it's ever been. Isn't that great? That's the beginning stages of revival. Hallelujah. So all those years they tried. So let's stand. We've got to give God some worship. You've already been doing that. But lift your hands and magnify Him. All the glory goes to You, Father. We give You all praise. All glory, all honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're doing good, but I know this is a Wednesday, and Sunday you had Saturday night to rest, so you'd be a little bit more exuberant, but just put on a good show. Hallelujah. I worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I glorify you. I magnify you. I glorify you. You're worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Friday night, we stand to honor this. So if you would, please.
Amen.
And if we give the lights, Mr. Matt. Hallelujah.
Amen. Like I said on Friday night, pretend like you're in vacation Bible school. Amen. I had the kids in here one night on Friday night because you adults kind of deserted us. So all that was left was kids. And they shouted me down. So let's get at it. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore we say, your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands. Are born again every week here at the Family Prayer Center. While we are able to get along with each other as the Father works revival in our midst. Father, your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. And that's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Sick, be healed. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Dumb, speak. Maimed, be whole. Dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to your glory, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. All glory unto you, Lord. The King of Kings has made a decree. We are speaking in his stead. The King has declared, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The King has decreed, captives, you are free. Every person returns to their original inheritance, the born again trail. We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, every artificial help. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus, our healer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory unto you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed. First time. Every time. All of them. No exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Fresh anointings. Fresh giftings. Like never before. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. All things are possible. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't you go around and give somebody a hug and tell them Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians 6, and you can also turn to Jeremiah 12. Oh, how we love you, Lord. How we receive of you and of the prayers of your saints who are offered up daily. Abba, restore them, refresh them, magnify yourself to them, and in them I pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We receive now, with thanksgiving already, the wisdom, the grace, and the authority to carry these things out and to go in to revival. Oh, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just relish the moment, just a moment. Presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, Philippians 6. Familiar verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. Excuse me. Did I say Philippians? 6:10, Ephesians 6:10. You guys know it so well, even if I say it wrong, you'll be there. We know what that guy means even when he don't. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's clarifying there, as we've said many times before in the past, that we're in a spiritual battle. And I think if you've been around very long at this time, you know that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting a spiritual battle, a tremendous spiritual battle. But the thing that we have to understand, that what Paul was trying to teach us here is, as he gets down later and says, having done all stand, in the evil day, well, We have to understand something. We are an ongoing force. We're marching. We're not an occupational army. We're supposed to occupy till He comes, the Word says. And we're supposed to be a bride preparing themselves, adorning themselves for their bridegroom. But I'll tell you this, we are supposed to be marching on the gates of hell. The reason why we're going to run into, and the reason why you have run into, if you've joined yourself to a vision like this, to where the little kids, a year up or 2 years up, if they hang around, they can tell you what the vision of our church is. It's revival. It's going forward. But you know what? I found something in my spirit that is I know it's a higher call than revival. I found something in my spirit that it's really a much higher call than getting little kids, getting dead people, raising people from the dead. It's a higher call. It's prioritized higher than getting the most precious little invalid child out of a bed, a wheelchair, or out of a horrible condition. That place is a place of intimacy with Christ. It's knowing Him. All of the other works proceed and mushroom from that place of knowing Him. We are not, the vision of this church is not revival, that's secondary. The vision of this church is to know our King. That's the vision of our church. Hallelujah. Our gathering, this is not our church, this is the kingdom of God. And this group, however you want to say it, our heart's vision is this. We want to get to know our coming King before He gets here. So that there is no, as Gomer would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. There is no surprise. I like to think that in all reality that there are people that show up and go through their first couple of years in heaven, if there's such a thing, earth years, because there's no time there. But I've had people say at the deceased departing, or a person departing at the deceased side, well, they know a lot more than we know. And if that person got there on the blood, but there was little fellowship in their life, what I usually say is, they're going to learn. But the fact of the matter is, you are who you are, no matter where you're at. This planet, that planet. And you get there by the blood, and if you get there by the blood, it did not automatically turn you into a full-scale fellowship with Him. You're receiving His rapport unabated. There's no screen of the flesh. There's nothing there that abates it. Now it just is a full flow. It's just a full flow of His glory coming down to you. But for the first times maybe in your entire existence, you're feeling the real love of the Father. And for a person who doesn't establish that on earth, he doesn't automatically get there and there's a computer chip pushed in him. And then all of a sudden he has all of the attributes that you may have acquired through many years of fellowship and worship and getting to know your Father. So in all reality, they don't just automatically show up there and know everything. They may have more knowledge in the spirit realm because now they see the angels unfolded. They know, they see the throne. They see a lot of different things. But I can tell you this, you can stand here on planet Earth and know more than somebody that got to heaven recently if you're fellowshipping with the Father. Because you're in intimacy with Him. Hallelujah. And there is no difference between where He's at and where I'm at. Hallelujah. Wherever He's at, I'm at. Wherever I'm at, He's at. Glory be to God. So this place of going forward, it's not a... Revival is secondary. It really is. The fruit of our intimacy is revival. Did you hear that? The fruit of our intimacy is the outpouring. That's just the fruit. And that's what Jesus lived his whole life was. Well, when you look at what Paul is saying here, he's not talking about an evil day as being, let's all huddle up and let's try to stay saved until he gets back. Peep your head out of the foxhole, but don't get it shot off. And let's try to keep what we got. And I hope nobody else backslides. And I hope we're going to... Listen, this is a force, really, from what I'm understanding and what I've heard weeks ago, some excellent teaching, although that's not exactly what I heard then, but is what I'm saying now. But one of the things that that particular person was saying is actually the research they did, Ephesians goes back to Joshua and the invasion of Israel into Canaan. It was an ongoing militaristic invasion. And it, by way of comparison, now we've got the old compared to the new. We're no longer fighting flesh and blood, but now in the New Testament. But you know what? In the days ahead, if David could stand on a hillside and be so anointed, not filled, but presence for the plans and purposes of God, the Holy Spirit was on him, and it felt like a baptism. To him at the time, it felt like a baptism in tongues, or a baptism in fire, rather, because he's looking at a 9-point-whatever-inch so-called giant, and he's maybe 5 foot, a little over, who knows, and he's looking at this guy that's double him in size, and he's telling him with no timidity, I am going today to, I'm going to take your head right even off with your shoulders, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowl of the air. I mean, after this guy got through cursing him, and the Holy Ghost raises up on David, and he runs. This is the church. The church is supposed to be running forward. Hallelujah. Come on. Samson, if he could take the jawbone of a donkey and kill, if you believe the word of God, in the book of Judges, it said the Holy Ghost come upon him, the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, and with a jawbone, he kills 1,000 men in one fight. Anointed, physically anointed, but those were those days. Now he switches over to say, not like in those days, but now, but listen, folks, we will still see our days of slaughter. Did you hear me? We will still see our days where, like David's men went out and they literally, I mean, David would weep because he knew tomorrow there was no chance for the enemy. He would weep because, God, they are bread to me. They are bread. I mean, this deal is so done, they don't know what they've stepped into, God. And they're going to die tomorrow by the thousands. And heaven help them, because there's no saving them. And yet, this is the picture that Paul wants to paint for us. And he wants us to know that we're going forward. But listen, as I said, we're going to see our days of slaughter. We're going to see, not like David looked out on the plains after 8 hours of battle and his men are standing there. You know, warriors, men and women in the spirit, if you're a revivalist, you may be beautiful. I mean, you ladies may put on your makeup just right and beautiful. But in the spirit, I see you as, you look like Braveheart. You know, smutty faces, The warriors have blood all over them. They've gone through battles. But not like he said here, like in David's time or in Israel's time, where you look out over the fray and there's thousands of dead bodies. But listen, we will see the slaughter, the spoils of victory in the days ahead. Did you hear me? And I'm not talking about just demonic demise, just the destruction of principalities and powers. The actual body count of the slaughter will be everyone who was snatched out of darkness into light. Every time one of those powers stops or cannot any longer contain. Do you know there is a spiritual breakdown in the spiritual realm when a soul, a spirit is no longer contained by the atmosphere, and God gets enough light over them through friends, family, through prayers, and then He sends evangelists into their lives to the point that at some point that spiritual sphere that is around them begins to break down. And whatever, you say, you mean there's a demonic force around every unsaved loved one? I'll guarantee you there's enough to occupy the billions of humans. The Word says in the book of Revelations that there was an innumerable amount of angels. Innumerable, meaning man did not have an ability to count them. The one-third is part of that innumerable amount. So I don't know what one-third of an uncountable amount means, but I'm telling you that when a soul is snatched out of their grasp, somebody got toasted. Somebody got hosed in the spirit realm. There was a slaughter. Demons suffered. And when we will see the revival take place and thousands are ushered in by the Spirit of God, it won't be in this forum, but it'll be in places where it'll be in Tico arenas, it'll be in football fields, it'll be on the media where we'll speak into a camera and say, we'll speak the word of the Lord, and we'll tell them how to be saved. We'll tell them how to be baptized in the Spirit. We'll release. The people will be filled with the Holy Ghost in their homes by the thousands. And thousands the following week will email and say, I got filled, I got filled, I got filled. There's no way that we can ever contain them in a particular place. We've got to use the technology of the day to understand that thousands and thousands will be slaughtered, and we'll look every week at the report and say, how many were slaughtered this week? What was the battle? What was the body count this week? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We will have. But as you well know, we're already in a present tense fray, battle. But this one really, the one that we're fighting right now, is kind of different than the one that is coming ahead. This is the one where hearts are being tried. I mean, the enemy's coming with everything he can to you as an individual and as an individual family. We're not facing as a whole. Candy was talking Sunday about the whole. There'll come a time where we as a whole body will face persecution of the world. We'll put in the sickle in those days, and we'll great big harvest. The net will pull in thousands and thousands. And there'll be those kinds of battles that will, by way of mention now, would seem like an insurmountable odds. But right now, we're fighting those battles on a personal level, in the sense that you're fighting and you're seeing it. It wouldn't matter who you touched in here, whether it would be finances, physical, marital, one thing or another. But those are those things that are coming now, and God's using them. He's not sending them, but I can tell you what He's doing. He's proving your character right in the middle of them. He's taking all the steel that's in here, and as Homer said last week, all those five keys, and we're not putting a limit on that. I mean, if there's anything else there, we'll discover it by the Holy Ghost. But if you're not doing these things, then you're either doing those things or you're in what Colossians called Sunday will worship. And will worship will run out of gas. It will run out of gas. I've told people before, I would hate it if I come to this church, if I was just going through the motions. I wouldn't like me if I was just going through the motions. Now, everybody has a time and a season where you, I don't know what you'd call it. We certainly wouldn't call it the world's, say, you just keep going, you just fake it. No, we don't call faking it. We just call it faith. We call it faith. You keep going until you get past that impasse. But when you lay down, when somebody lays down and says, okay, I'm aborting, and they don't even have to tell anybody or they don't even have to say it, but they say, okay, I'm going to go through the motions, that's when it gets real hard. But right now he's coming on individual levels and fighting here and fighting there. But we know it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. You know what God's doing, though, through it all? He's using anything that He comes with to grow us up. That's why it takes so long to receive a true outpouring, because the fact of the matter is, when the other gets here, hey, we'll be case-hardened steel in the Spirit. Male or female, a lot of times things will come at me, come at you, and you think, my God, why does this come at me? Listen, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But sometimes God will reveal something, not to him, but God will say, okay, you've been asking me to get me ready for everything. So I'd really rather face him at this level, so that there was anything that needed to be swept out, cleaned up, skeletons out, because I don't want a major revival going and then have to try to go back and fix the engine in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Let's get it all fixed now. Let's use these years to mourn and put on sackcloth and ashes so we get ready. You know why? Because people are going to look at you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And they won't see what you are on the outside. They'll see what you are on the inside. And the adorning that they'll look at is they'll say, my God, what is this? I mean, the attitude of the heart, how you stand in the midst of these things. And I mean, we're looking at little ones coming up and they're going to look at you and say, You're wearing something on the inside. Well, what is it? It's everything that He is. His pearl's a great price. Do you know what a pearl is, don't you? I watched these, I think it was a long time ago. I was either reading about it, but I remember either seeing, I think it was on Discovery or something like that, these little Oriental girls, Japanese, I think, they'd dive down. And their job was they dive down and kind of take the solution or whatever it was and impregnate these clams. I guess an oyster will do the same thing, but really clams. Because what happens is if there's something inside there, foreign to it, like an infectious nature, like a grain of sand, that's how a pearl is. That clam will just take it. And it'll build an enamel around it to separate that infection from its own self. And it's layer after layer after layer of enamel that it just lays on it until it builds, sometimes years, it builds that beautiful pearl. So these girls were diving down. I mean, there's man-made, but real, real costly ones. They harvest those out of the sea, but they produce them because they go down, they dive down. And they didn't even have tanks. They were They were just diving down 20 to 30 feet. They could hold their breath, those little girls. And they'd crack them open and slide that solution in there to harvest them years later, or however long. That's what's happening to us. We're facing a lot of giants, but the fact of the matter is, anything that's foreign to revival, that doesn't look like it to you, or love, people are going to look on the inside of you and say, my God. I mean, if they could open you up, whew, look, all those strands of pearls. Well, what's this one? What's this strand? It's beautiful. Oh, this strand here? Yeah. Well, that's the strand. Every one of those pearls represent everybody on this walk I could have hated. But when it came to me, I found a way in Christ to begin to build His love around it. And I prayed for that person, and I confessed good things over that person, and I called them saved. If they were saved, if they were my brother, I said, Jesus, I pray for that person. I love them. And through time, love just formed an enamel around it. Every one of those pearls were people I could have hated. People stabbed me in the back. People talked ugly, did this, that. Well, what's that one? Oh, that's poverty, sickness, pain. I could accuse God, but I found a way in the Spirit to build some kind of an enamel around it and just keep saying, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I will not accuse you. Glory be to God. We're going to build something. We're building something now. But it takes time. Because one day, guess what? The real battles start. Oh my God. This is where I told you to hold your place or turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 12. Keep yourself there in Ephesians 6. Now, we can't teach Jeremiah. It's a major prophetic book. But I think there's a rhema here to us in this lesson. Jeremiah is communing with God, and he's actually asking questions. And he asks this question, chapter 12, verse 1. Actually, he starts addressing God. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. So he's asking God for an audience here. Wherefore, he's asking God a question now. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? How come the wicked prosper, God? I mean, this was a deep concern of his, especially where Jeremiah was standing in the day and hour he was in. Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? I mean, they look like they're just having a party time. Thou hast planted them. Now look what he begins to say to God. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Reins, he's talking about their spiritual, their heart, their convictions. He says, basically, they talk about God, but their life doesn't prove out what they're talking about. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart. How many know what I'm talking about? We're going through a trying time. Now, God's not necessarily the one doing it in the test and trial, but He's telling you, go forward, knowing that the devil's out there, and you've got to run into him. You've got to run into him on this battle. On this, I mean, God knows when He says, keep going, keep going, keep going, you're going to run into this stuff. But He's got confidence in us. He said, you've tried my heart towards thee. Pull them out like sheep from the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long, verse 4, is that right? How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, he said. I mean, even the land's fallen apart. The birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end, meaning wickedness will continue on They're boasting in themselves. Now listen to what... This is the reply of God. This is God... It changes here. You'd have to read this to understand that it changes here. But this is God speaking back to Jeremiah. If thou hast run with the footmen... Now he's talking about militaristic army soldiers. And they have wearied thee. Now God's asking him a question. Then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they have wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And to us, we can't hardly capture... I could go into what I've read on that about Jordan, but you can imagine that that means if you think this is tough, what are you going to do when it really gets bad? You know, that would be scary if, in fact, you didn't know that there was a way to go from where you are to where He is. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah asked God some questions, and God was go, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. If you think that you're strong and you're gonna contend with me or ask me a question, let me ask you this. If running with the foot soldier, if the present battles that you've already run into have made you where, I just want to quit, Pastor. I don't know. I don't know if I can. When you feel that way, and everybody has felt that way at times, everybody, but when that is your life, I can tell you this, you're not leaning on Him, you're leaning on self. No matter what you think about that you've given it to Him, I've given it to Him, Pastor. No, listen, in Him, in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is pleasures forevermore. And no matter what you think about it, and no matter what you think that you've given to Him, if there's still the anxiety of, I don't know if I can go on another day like this, there's still that part of you that is still living in, I got to make this happen. I got to do this. It's me. I've got to be responsible enough to make this happen. I got to be... Listen, I'm telling you prophetically, not to scare you. If you think, if you couldn't stand now, it's going to... He's saying, look, if you can't run along with the soldiers and contend with them, there's going to come a day you're going to have to contend with the speed of horses. You're going to be broke, man. You're out of the picture. Wounded soldiers don't go forward. I mean, they just can't. They fall. Greek mythology. Achilles, the greatest warrior of all, kill 1,000 men, or 100 men. We still name a tendon in our body, medical science does. Over one archer's arrow pierced a little tendon on the back of his heel, and it incapacitated him in the Battle of Troy. And this mighty... Listen, wounded soldiers, they can't go forward. And this is what he's saying. Look, if you're so weak in the spirit that what is surrounding you right now is making you think of, I can't go forward. This is going to drive me crazy. I can't make it. This has got my peace. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't... Listen, the big dogs haven't got here yet. The sickle has not been put in. We're fighting individual battles now. We will soon fight corporate battles where the onslaught of Satan will really come down on the church. But guess what? Where sin and the powers of darkness abound, greater grace will abound upon us. But you've got to be whipping these things now. As the Old Testament say, hip and thigh. I mean, you've got to be smiting them hip and thigh. You've got to be... These things have got to be under your feet. And if they're not, then it always goes back to the basic message of the five different keys. You've got to be employing those things. And if you're not, listen, I'm not trying to, we're not, this is not a call to a five-spoke church. We're not trying to, as I said, it's intimacy with Christ. But He tells you the way to do it. This is a roadmap. He tells you that the Holy Ghost will pray for you. But if you leave Him out of the equation, and you're not filled, and if you don't get filled, and if you don't pray in tongues, and if you don't worship, and if you don't, at times, I'm talking now to leaders, if you don't fast, there will be parts of your will, the radial, you get one part of that radial going down the road, and you get a flat spot in that radial, you got to thump, to thump, to thump, to thump, thump. It's still a good tire. It'll get you. And it may go 200,000 miles, but you get a thump on it if you get a flat spot in that radial. If any of your spokes are not working the way they're supposed to, if there's any of them lacking, well, that part, I'm heavy over here, Pastor, but I'm not too big on that part yet. I don't like, you know, Listen, I'm talking about not what I do, what He's called you to do. He wants to round us out. Because He wants us to know, yes, in the present battle, you'll feel the pressure. Yes, you will. The Goliath that you're facing will look big. But He's allowing us, He's not sending him, but He's proving us, so He's getting us ready. We're doing our crunches now for the big battle. We're getting ready to fight the big giants of revival. And if there are things in us that cannot, it's really a proving time, because if there are things in us that say this is too much, guess what? I didn't know this was going to be like this. Well, guess what? The big dogs haven't got here yet. So if this is making you want to quit, something's got to be adjusted. Oh, I didn't get any amens out of that. Glory be to God. But you know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. And we all fight, and we all have to stand for our peace. And there's times where it doesn't feel like in the natural it's there, but you keep going forward, because we're back in Ephesians 6 now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. And on and on and on. And I think that's all that He has for us tonight. But I think that's some good stuff. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If the little dogs are wearying you, we may not, and I'm sure we haven't, seen the unleashing. What's that? Hallelujah, Delia. Glory be to God. That's a David spirit right there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many of you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, Ralph. No, Ralph. Hallelujah. How many of you love Ralph? Yes, hallelujah. Glory. A friend of mine will be here Sunday. His name is Steve Schultz. And I don't know that any of you know him. A few of you might. Steve hasn't been here in years, and he's coming to visit me, and I felt that I should honor him. He travels the world, and he's someplace all the time, and he's a prophet, and he'll be speaking for us if the Holy Ghost lets him. So, you know how we are. So, please be in prayer over that, and we'll see a lot of you on Friday night, or Candy will see a lot of you on Friday night. I will be entertaining guests. Hallelujah. All right. Would you ask God what He'd have you do tonight for being a part of this offering? the blind see, the lame walk. Anytime you get a chance to touch this, you're touching something. Oh, I mean, this is right next to the heart of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to search your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that the pearls that you've strung around our hearts, people don't know that when they see us, how many times we've turned down the opportunity to walk in offense. We keep turning it down and turning it down until we turn around and the pearl of great price is so formed on the inside of us that it's an adornment for all the ages. We'll get to heaven and be able to take these pearls out and show them one to another. Oh, I won that and won that pearl in 2009 and won that one in 2007. See, these three pearls, they came to me in 2005. Right on into revival. Right now we get the opportunity to lay down our life, call ourselves dead, that Christ may live in us. We ask you now to bless this offering in our time together. We worship you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah.